And especially when they do it and they finish it incorrectly. And I think you thought you knew what I was going to say, but you didn't know what I was going to say. And so you're not as smart as you think you are. Don't be that person. Listen. That's the first way we show love in a conversation, is listening. A dialogue has to go two ways, otherwise it's just a monologue, right? And that's no fun. There's no relationship in a monologue. What's that? I'm sorry, I still can't. Oh, call those people cuckoo, right. Yeah, they're just quick. Yeah, they're impatient with you, basically. The first step in speaking in a loving way to your neighbor is to speak silently. In other words, listen. So the second step, to speak invitingly. Invitingly. If there are certain cultures that are not comfortable speaking up, and if they feel unempowered to speak, how do we encourage them to speak? By inviting them to speak. Probably last week, we would have done better at our workshop if I would have said, hey, I'd be interested in hearing what so-and-so has to say. They haven't talked yet. And hearing some of the input from another person. That was my mistake, and I own that. Read the Gospels sometimes. If you want to learn something from Jesus, read the Gospels sometimes. That's probably the most profound thing I've said all year. If you want to learn something from Jesus, read the Gospels. Note how many times Jesus answers questions and how many times he asks questions. Any ideas? I Googled it this morning. So, Jesus asked 307 questions. Jesus answered 3. He invited people into conversation. I like to tell people how smart I am by answering questions. Jesus asked questions. In fact, when people came up to ask him questions, he didn't ask a question in response because he wanted to dig deeper. He wanted to get to know the person. So inviting people to speak. I'll never forget, after I had read the book, The Wolf Shall Dwell with the Lamb, and Eric Law talks about this gracious invitation at small groups when you're in a multi-ethnic setting. I was leading a session meeting, and session is the board of elders that runs the church, basically. And I was watching, we were discussing something terribly important. I have no idea what it was now, but it was very, very important at the time. And we were kind of grappling with it, and different people had different opinions, and they were quite noisy about it. And I remember looking over, and our one elder who was Indonesian was just sitting at the table, looking at the table. And so finally I said, Leo, you haven't talked yet. Why don't you tell us what you think we should do on this? And he kind of looked up and he said, well, I think da-da-da-da-da. And he gave an answer. And I remember everybody in the session went, oh, of course. And that was it. It became a motion. It was voted on, it was passed. But he had to be asked to speak. And frankly, it's just respectful. He was just being waited to ask. So, first speak silently, then speak invitingly. Third, speak humbly. Humbly. I think we have a kind of a bad understanding of what humbleness or humility is today. I think we have this idea that it's self-deprecating. Oh, I'm so stupid. I'm so this. I'm so that. It's not that at all. The root word of humble means ground. It means I'm grounded. I'm not flying above the ground. I'm where I ought to be. It's an honest assessment of who I am and who another person is. And it's showing another person the respect that they deserve and the dignity that they deserve as a human being. Paul writes, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. And then he goes on to talk about the body, which is the church, and the many members in it. so that we all recognize how important each member of the church is, no matter their social status, no matter their ethnicity, no matter their age. Everybody is important. Last week, we started the service with Philippians 2. I just love that passage. It's one of my favorite passages when Paul says, have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And then he starts laying out all the things that Jesus was, but he gave up. He was God, he became human. He was divine, he became mortal. He was king, he was born in a lowly estate. He was master, and yet he knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. He was eternal, and yet he gave himself up for death, even death on a cross. He did all of those things. If he can do that, how much more should we? Humbling ourselves. In that way, he expressed his love for us, for you and for me, and that's how we express our love for others, by not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. When speaking to someone, we just have to be careful not to have that superior attitude. What can I teach this person now? How can I impress them with how knowledgeable I am? Rather than think, how can I correct this person? Perhaps we can look at them and say, how can I learn from this person? What can I learn from them? What can I hear that might be new to me? So we speak silently, we speak invitingly, we speak humbly, and fourth, this is going to be a little interesting, we speak fruitfully. Fruitfully? What do you mean by that, Lance? I still hang on to that fruit of the Spirit, that sermon series I did a while back, Who Stole My Fruit? Because we're supposed to exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We're supposed to be exhibiting that. That's supposed to be fruit that's coming out of our person. It's supposed to be fruit coming out of the church. That should be in our conversations. But sometimes our conversations don't exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. They exhibit quite the opposite. So that comes from Galatians chapter 5. So when Christians speak hate, well, that's not of God. We're supposed to speak love. When Christians speak discouragement, well, that's not of God. We're supposed to speak joy. When Christians speak divisively, that's not of God. We're supposed to speak peace. When Christians become impatient with each other, well, that's not of God. We're supposed to be patient. When Christians are hostile to each other, that's not of God. We're supposed to show kindness. When we speak harshly, that's not of God. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And when Christians lose their temper, I'm in trouble. Because that's not of God. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So we should exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our conversations with other people. That's how we show love to them. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 and following. So then, putting away all falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. We're members of one another. Again, let me say this. It has nothing to do with our social ranking. It has nothing to do with our ethnicity. It has nothing to do with our age. We are members of each other. We're neighbors. Be angry. Yeah, Paul says be angry. It's okay to be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. It's okay to get a little, but talk through it. Make sure you get it out and be done with it before the day is over. And do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing, rather let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. You know, if people are looking for a church, that's it. Let me say that again. Putting away all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander together with all malice. Nobody wants to go to a church that's that, right? But they do want to go to a church that's kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. Paul finishes by saying, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be. When it comes to how to neighbor, how to love our neighbor, it begins with how we think about others, and then it moves to how we speak to others. We should speak silently and learn to listen. We should speak invitingly and ask more questions. We should speak humbly, thinking more of others. And we should speak fruitfully, exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit in our conversations. In other words, we should imitate Jesus Christ. We should speak like Jesus Christ. I mean, if dogs speak the language of their masters, shouldn't we?